There's poetry in everything around you. Be it the shine of the stars on a moonless night, the seamless flow of water across the river, the very sound of your soul calling you, and the feeling of adrenaline rush pumping blood faster to your heart. Poetry is everywhere. Poetry is not just what you hear or see, but what you feel, what you believe. And I am here, just a poet, who transforms these feelings into words for the world to rejoice. Hi, and welcome to Talkathon with me, Suleiman. This is Season 3, Episode 4, and this is a poetry special episode. Today, there's going to be a big change in the way we are hosting this podcast. Let me tell you, my two best friends, Aman and Shreyas, are going to take the whole episode up from here, and they will be hosting the podcast for me. Over to you, Shreyas, to take this episode for us.
Thank you, Suleiman. Thank you for the opportunity. As the usual host, Suleiman Seth, has said, this is going to be a very, very different episode. We have three poets and poetesses here. You know Suleiman Seth as our host and as a blogger who's also into poetry. The rest of the two eminent guests that we have today are Namrata and Simran Kaur from India. These two are also poetesses. And to briefly introduce Simran is a public relations profession and works with India's largest PR firm. He's currently based in Bangalore and has an extraordinary love for writing and reading and has contributed her stories and poems in various anthologies such as A Little Chorus of Love, Purple Hues, Rhythm and Rhythm, etc., etc. Most of her creations are inspired by nature, relations and introspection. She is a diehard fan of Gulzar and Langley. So far, Simran has reviewed close to 200 books. She has her own blog and facilitated with the Best Storyteller Award for her story, Pink. Over to Namrata. Namrata is a software developer. So she's also an engineer like us, and she's been working for 5 years and is also based in Bangalore. She likes reading and reciting poetry. She started writing poems since she was a child and has taken inspiration from poems in her school books. Welcome to our both of our guests. Next, we'll go around talking about the poetry culture across the world and the styles of various poetry and what inspires three guests in this field. So I would like to hand over the reins to my friend Aman to introduce the poet. Poets and poems across the world, the styles. Over to you, Aman.
Thank you, Shreyas. The history of poetry goes long back, even before the writing was invented. For example, the earliest written poetry was found in Africa, where they describe how they did hunting in those prehistoric times. And the earliest surviving poetry is of the Epic of Gilgamesh. So epic is a very long form of poetry, and I'm sure many of us have heard about the epics, you know, like Ramayana, Mahabharata, Epic of Gilgamesh, Iliad, Odyssey. This is a repeating pattern of the earliest poetry across the world. We'll always have epics where we would try to talk about the heroes, a story of a period to explain what is happening, to show some, you know, lessons or some output through those. Then as we come down into different countries, we have, for example, Japan has a very good tradition of poems. You can, for example, I can take two examples, the tanka style and the haiku style. So the tanka style is a fashion of saying the poems in 5 lines and 31 syllables, which describes a picture of an event or a mood. And the haiku style is Japanese poem of 17 syllables in 3 lines of 5, 7 and 5 configuration. So you have these type of configurations in these Japanese styles. Then we come to our own culture. You have this tradition of ghazals. You have this tradition of shairs, which are quite famous in our country. We can then go to the classical English language where we have the poems, you know, like the ode. You know, we give talk about some concept, talk something about our concept very in a high respected manner. And then you have about things like there's a type called sonnet, which says that the poem should be of 14 lines and it should be in a rhythmic manner. And then we have something called limerick, which is all about humor and stuff like that. So you can see across the countries, across the times, we always had different types of poems just to describe what a person thinks in a very creative manner using things like metaphors, smileys, rhythms and stuff like that. So it's a very diverse art and quite prominent all over the history. And today, when this era of globalization is there, people are discovering the styles from faraway lands and trying to adapt to their own languages, which is a quite fascinating thing to see. And I expect new styles to evolve in the future.
Yes, yes, of course, Aman. And with the world in lockdown, we can expect a lot of different poems, people bringing up a different talents in poetry coming out as well. Yes, Suleiman, do you like to add a few points?
Actually, Aman spoke very well in regard to, you know, the different history and the forms of poems which are available. There's something which we can very well relate, you know, like for people who don't really have a stronger understanding of most of these history forms of poems. The Kabir Ke Dohe was something which we all learnt at school. So something which we all have actually grown up reading, you know, one of the strongest forms of poems. Which has been our Thirukural, which is very well known in Tamil culture as well. You know, those are certain important forms of our very own land. So that's what I wanted to
see. Yes, of course. And going on the same way, even in Germany, we have a lot of famous poems and poets like Johann von Goethe, and also a distinct style which resembles Japanese way of poetry. It's called the Elfshin, where we create a poem or with a message with only 11 words. So every country, every culture has always had this the culture of poetry, where they try to inculcate the history, their own history, and also bring in some message for the future. Rhymes, for example, have always been about history. For example, Humpty Dumpty talking about a cannon, and Jack and Jill also talking about a monarch, famous monarch. So that's always been in our culture. Anyway, moving on, I would like to encourage our hosts to join and share with us what inspired them to enter poetry. You have told us that Gulzar and school poems were your inspirations, but what was the special thing that, what was the special poems or poets who pushed you towards this field?
So I started my writing at the age of 14. So I will first share how it happened to me. So through one of my friends whom I made through social networking website, yes, long back when I was in 7th standard. So this friend of mine came to my place, and during one of our conversations, she shared that she wrote her first piece of poetry at the age of, and that what struck me, like, if she can write a poetry at the age of 10, why can't I write at the age of 14? So at the same night, I sat near my balcony and I, with my journal and my pen, and I spent hours thinking about what should I write, how should I write. And then I managed to write a couple of lines on life. And it's also during the time when SMS used to be a thing. So I sent a text message to all my close friends and to ask how the poetry is, and I got some good reviews from them, and thereon I started writing. And one of my friends suggested me then to take up blogging, and that's how I started my blog at the age of 14.
Can you share with us, Simran, can you share with us your, if you can remember, the first poem you sent via SMS? Is it possible?
No, I don't remember that, and it was a very poorly written one. So.
Of course, you would have grown in the field now with much better magnum opuses as well.
So then I started reading others' blog as well. So by reading, I gained a lot of knowledge about technology, about health, about how the art of writing stories. And that's when I started writing stories with my other friends, and I co-authored with one of my friends, and we received an award for that. The story title is Pink. And a few of my poetries got published in anthologies. There are around 20 anthologies so far that has my poetry. And also I'm working on my first draft of poetry book. So let's see when it comes.
All the best wishes for your poetry book, Simran. Namrata, can you share your experiences with your motivation to poetry?
Yeah, sure, Shreyas. Actually, poetry was kind of very natural to me. I think I was 7 or 8 when I started writing it. So what my parents say that it is hereditary, because my grandfather was a poet. So it was a very popular thing in my family that he had stayed. He was friends with Suryakant Tripathi Nirala, very famous poet of Hindi poetry. So That was the thing. I did not even know about this. I was not really moved about this, but still I started writing. My first poem, I think, it was about monsoons. So it was in Hindi. It had a title of Dekho Aaya Phir Saavan. And as a kid, I just used to write about nature, not very strong feelings or like after growing up, I do about some deepest emotions and all. But during those days, we used to write about nature. And I think my school and my teachers had promoted me a lot. I mean, motivated me a lot to write because there were some school magazines which used to get published there. And my teachers used to ask me to write articles and poems there. So I used to write for that to get them published. And I think there was no stopping by after that. I met with blogging bloggers, like friends like Simran and Suleiman and many beautiful poets out there. I used to read their poems. I used to think upon that. The ideas which used to impact me a lot, I used to write, just scribble two or three lines. Sometimes I used to leave them incomplete and come after a month or so to complete them. And then I used to publish. So I was not a very prolific poet, but it's like it's a part of my life. It's a permanent thing and it will always be there, I'm sure.
Thank you for your experience. Moving on to Suleiman. I've known Suleiman Said since he started off with this blog and also started off with refining his poetry. So I've been privileged to have seen it firsthand, the first drafts and the second draft and also the final output of certain poems of his. So can you share with all our listeners what made you enter poetry?
The real story actually on how I started writing has a lot to do with my mom. My mom was doing her MA English Literature when I was in probably class 7, class 8. And I remember days she used to come back from school. She was working back then. So she used to come back from school and I used to see her tired and her exams were nearing. So she used to hand over her books to me and say, "Beta, you just read. Let me just listen to it." So that is when I had an early exposure to Shakespearean form of poems or like different forms of writing such as sonnets or haikus or free verse or all these things. I tried to understand what rhyming schemes are. All those things happened back then probably at a tender age of, you know, like 14, 15, means probably class 8, class 9. So that is when I actually had this itch or this urge, you know, like let me also, you know, pick up the pen and start writing something. I did start writing at the same time, almost class 8, class 9, and I had a chance to feature in my school magazine multiple times. It just didn't end with the magazine at school. I had a chance to have my poems also into the Young World, small time. And then once I entered college, blogging happened. And blogging gave me an opportunity to mature as a writer, not just poetry, but also, you know, writing a fully fledged book as well. So that happened after I took up blogging. Blogging was one big change, you know, where you happen to meet people on a digital platform and you understand the level which the readers expect and it refines you into much better poet. So this has happened over the last 12, 15 years in my life until where I stand today. And now here there's a point, you know, like, I ensure that I give the first 100 days of the calendar to writing poetry because I really enjoy poetry to such great extent.
Thank you, Suleiman. Thank you for sharing your experience, your motivation towards poetry. I believe Aman can take over from here.
Since we have poets here today in our panel, I would like to know whether what goes into a mind when you write a poem, what sort of thoughts you get, what are your inspirations for your creativity, and how do you feel when the final output comes out? Starting with Namrita.
All right. Thank you, Aman. So when it comes to what goes inside a poet's mind, so I think I can only talk for me, but not for the entire poet community. What happens is when I get highly impacted by some idea, maybe positive or negative, I try to convert it into try to arrange my thoughts about it into a journal or into a poem. So maybe I get that idea from outside, suppose from a movie or from article or from some other poem, it can happen, or maybe from some situation that I'm undergoing. So or sometimes I get a thought on my own, something you create on your own, like something, some irony or something like that. So what do I do when I feel some strong emotions about the situation that is going around in my life? I let it settle down for a while I don't write poetry when I'm overpowered with some emotion, like when I'm heartbroken or when I'm angry or deceived. Don't write it straight away. So I let it settle down. I don't write as soon as I feel the emotion. So my poems are mainly the conclusions, my learnings from those situations. So it's about a strong emotion. And I try to collect my knowledge, my learnings from that, so that the next time, after a long time, when I come back and read that, or maybe someone else who comes back and read that, they get the help they need during the similar situation. That's how I write. That's my mantra, or that goes on in my mind. So when my poem gets completed, well, most of the time I don't focus on finishing it off. It's not my idea of writing poetry. I just scribble it down. And sometimes when I flip the pages again, I find it out that, yeah, there are three or four incomplete lines, and I add up more lines to it. So when it gets finished, which luckily happens sometimes, fortunately it happens sometimes, I finish it off completely, I get really happy. I recite it to my friends. I call them, I bug them, and then I recite it on the calls. So they also appreciate, and I feel really good about it.
Well, thanks, Namrata. It was a great insight into the thinking process of a poet. Now, Simran, I would like to know your opinions on this.
So most of my poems are inspired from the conversation that I hear from people around myself, or maybe if there's a thought that strikes to me, or there's something that is bothering me and I'm unable to find the answers to it, and then I start questioning myself and give rational answers and questions to myself, and then in that process I sit for a while and gather my thoughts, and then I jot some points, and then I build a poetry until I get those answers to it. So it's mostly I find something or the other as an answer to my question in the process of writing poetry.
Great insight, Simran. Suleiman, what's your thoughts?
I have a different side towards poetry, actually. I'm someone who writes a lot on what I see on daily basis. You know, like if you see, you will find, you know, most of the things which I write are much relatable to what is happening in common time period. Like, for example, I have gone on to write 8 consecutive poems on Corona, which is the recent pandemic which we are talking about. Even otherwise, it so happens that I write things which are contemporary to what I see, you know, what I see, what I perceive, what I absorb, you know. I like to put those things into words. Sometimes, yes, there is a little mirch masala which gets added, or sometimes there are a lot of emotions which get added on to it, but that is the part and parcel of writing poetry.
Great, Suleiman. Now, since we have 3 poets, I'm sure our listeners will be dying to hear their poetic creations from them. So we can start from Namrata, so she can talk about her piece.
I'm very fond of ghazals and shayari. I mostly write in Hindi, but I also write in English. So today I'll share some of the shares of my own, and one of my poems written in English, and one in Hindi. So these are some of my shayari. So these are like this. So arth kya hai? Jise ruswa kiya uski hi yaadon mein rahe dube. जिसे रुसवा किया उसकी ही यादों में रहे डूबे, ए दिल बता भी दे कि तेरे क्या है मंसूबे. एंड सेकेंड वन इज, बड़ी अजीब है ये मोहब्बत भी, बड़ी अजीब है ये मोहब्बत भी, इसमें न कोई जोर लगता है और न कोई जोर चलता है. थर्ड वन इज, साथ कायनात थी हम खाक छानते रहे, साथ कायनात थी हम खाक छानते रहे, एक दोस्त की कमी थी बस हम इश्क मांगते रहे. एंड द लास्ट शेयर फॉर दिस इवनिंग, इट इज, चाहे कुछ भी हो बेशक प्यार ही सही, चाहे कुछ भी हो बेशक प्यार ही सही, एक हद में होनी चाहिए बेहद नहीं. सो दिस वॉज द 4 शेयर्स विच आई शेयर. There is one Hindi poem which I would like to share. It is for actually say love of God or respect for God which I have. I was young, quite young in college when I wrote this. The title of this poem is Samarpan. Samarpan means giving yourself completely to someone. Samarpan. So it is something like this. Tan ho chahe man malin na ho. Tan ho chahe man malin na ho. Ho jhuki lata abhiman ki. बस प्रेम पंथ का पथिक बनू, बस प्रेम पंथ का पथिक बनू, ना आस रहे सम्मान की. जीवन का लक्ष्य समर्पण हो, जीवन का लक्ष्य समर्पण हो, यह प्राण तुझी पर अर्पण हो। प्रभु के पथ से मैं तल जाऊं, प्रभु के पथ से मैं तल जाऊं, वह प्रभुता भी किस काम की। एंड द लास्ट वन ऑफ माई पोएट्री इज या दिस पोएम इज इन इंग्लिश एंड आई थिंक आई रोट इट कपल ऑफ इयर्स अगो एंड इट हैड अ टाइटल ग्रेटर देन ग्रीफ। सो दिस इज क्वाइट डीपर, अडल्ट एंड ओल्डर पीपल विल बी एबल टू रिलेट। सो इट इज टू एम्ब्रेस द प्रेजेंट यू मस्ट लेट गो ऑफ द पास्ट, यू एंड दे आर मियर ह्यूमंस एट लास्ट। How long will you look for answers, as there are none? Just a train of countless questions, which you must stop. You aren't immaculate, they aren't perpetually flawed. You aren't immaculate and they aren't perpetually flawed. So my dear one, go this time, just let go of the past. It cannot be the same every time, but if it does, let not yesterday be the cause. Shut those gnawing voices, stomp them down your feet. Shut those gnawing voices, stomp them down your feet, for you are stronger than your losses and greater than your grief. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Yes, Namrita, those were very amazing pieces of poems you have just shared with us. Sibran, it's now over to you. You can now share your pieces.
So I'll be reciting the poetry which is very close to my heart. And the poetry is about the phases of relationship of a child with his parents, how it changes. The title of the poem is World's Worth. I wonder at the rapid flip of priorities, as if time has turned into playing cards, waiting for exact opportunity to take over all that you have desired, oblivious of regards. How naturally you tend to forget them, once meant a world to you when you were three. No candy, chocolate or toy had filled their absence. You would cry so hard, with them life was carefree. You grew up a little more in age and insight, wise enough to think and reason on your own. Filled with peenage and bubble-lipped pride, you explore your world in friends and clown. You set up your own world of smiles and tears, so secret and personal, with feel of insecurity, when you find your trust and love crushed, rage, madness and ignorance supersede generosity. Setting apart those brim of emotions and heartbreak, you stand up high and with all your will once again. Fight with all your fears, fight with yourself and your fears like insane. You keep yourself occupied, pretend you aren't in pain. A lot of it has happened so far. Wheel within your heart. You feel the worst. Still seems illogical to share with parents. How would they react? Or will they understand you? You presume. There you did mistake. Right there, in the past. You didn't realize right and wrong, true and false. You had your parents, the world's worth, but sad. You couldn't find their worth in the world. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Simran. That was, we did not know we had a Wordsworth over here amongst us.
Thank you.
That was a great, pure poem from Simran. Now, Suleiman, it's your stage now. You can share your pieces.
There was one particular time, you know, I was really into this 100 days of poetry, and there was literally poetry, anything I look around, you know, there was poetry. So this is one thing which is really close to me. So he sat for breakfast, poured a bowl of words, chewed them completely. Poetry he digested. He took a deep breath, inhaled a few words, filled up his lung to the max. Poetry he exhaled. He closed his eyes, remembering a few words, slept the whole night long. Poetry he dreamt. So this is just one. I have another one which is like relating two of my very close passions. So here it goes. Poetry and medicine go hand in hand. One treats the mind, while other treats the body. Poetry and medicine, prescribed in right doses, relaxes the soul and reduces the pain. Poetry and medicine, when abused upon, disturbs the mind and ruins the body. So these have been, you know, like a couple of them which I wrote during my recent 100 days of poetry. But if you actually ask me and my passion for writing and how I pen it down into my diary, I actually have something which relates my poetry and my diary as well, which is really close to me. So the poetry is actually called To My Dear Diary. Here it goes. My diary, every night you come to my rescue as you await for me to complete you. With every page, I pour out my soul with a lot of emotions to console. You remain unruffled, seeing me weep all through those dark hours of the night which I couldn't sleep. Oh my diary, I write to you with my mighty pen, sharing my daily happenings like a talesman. You read all those secret fantasies in my head, and never did you even scoff at me. Instead, you conjunctured to every lie that I bred and showed me happy past until the night went dead. Oh my diary, I admire the patience you have to combat my distress with your salve. You will fill the wantings of my craze and the ease of my loneliness you erase. How I wish you transform to life like a real life friend, an end to my strife. So this is something which has been close to me, and this is probably one of the first poems I wrote in my diary in the year 2014. It is also there on my blog, so I just read it out from my blog now. So here are some of my simple yet important poems which are close to my heart.
Great pieces, Suleiman. Okay, one question I want to ask to you three poets what styles do you prefer in your poems? Starting with Namrata.
My favorite styles of poetry is Shairi and Ghazal. So I have written many Shair, and there have been some Ghazals which I have written, which are a set of five or six couplets that we write. Ghazal is that. So I like writing that. It's like it connects with my inner emotions. Most of the times I'm able to ooze things out of my mind. Apart from that, since I was young, I used to write poems with strict rhyme schemes. It was a thing. One line should rhyme with the second one, then the third line should rhyme with the fourth one. It was like that for me. But eventually, when I grew up, I tried experimenting with that. So the structure got less formal for my poems. And I think these days, I think in 21st century, the modern poems have evolved in that way that they're not very technical. They have reached to the common people. People have got so many apps and everything. So they can go there, they can jam together. And so it's mostly like that. I write two or three lines somewhere and convert into a four-line poem, or sometimes, the stanza of four, then again I try to add four to it. So sometimes it's with strict rhyme scheme, sometimes it's not, sometimes half of the poem is rhyming, sometimes it's not. So, but yeah, my favorite will always be Shairi, so I keep on doing that. And I keep on listening to more and more ghazals and try to write more of that. So that's how I do.
Thanks for sharing that, Namrata. Simran, what styles would you like to employ in your poems?
So usually I prefer writing in a free verse style, but I've also tried quite a lot, many forms like Shadorma, which is a Spanish form of poetry, and sonnets, haiku, narrative style of writing, but mostly it's free verse because it allows me to express my thoughts quite spontaneously and naturally.
That's good, Simran. Suleiman, your styles, please.
I started writing, strict rhyming poems, if you actually remember, dating back to 2010-11. Most of my poems, if you find, would be rhyming until the very end. But then I started writing more of free verse. And even in my recent time, if you actually find, most of my poems, even today, are free verse. I also write haikus. A lot of haikus are there on my series of poems as well. So from strict rhyming schemes, the AAs and ABs and AABs and all those things, until moving into free verse. Free verse gives you a lot of freedom, actually, into directing your thoughts into the flow which you want. So that is the way in which I have structured most of my poems these days.
That's good, Suleiman. That ends the main section of our podcast. And now let's come to the Q&A sections. Our listeners have sent us some good questions, and now we will try to answer them. So the first question we have got is this. Is pain a necessary factor to create poetry? So anyone who would like to answer that, the floor is yours.
I think pain is mostly most important. I mean, my most important tool which helps to a poet to you know, write it down on a sheet. But I don't think it's always pain in my case. Any strong emotion. Sometimes some stranger helps me on the, in the street. I mean, they are so helpful. I get so moved, and I'm like, the world is such a good place. And then I start writing something. So it happens in that way also. It doesn't have to be pain every time. Any strong emotion. Related to your parents, your family, your friends, any strong emotion can drive you to write a good poem. That's how I think.
And I would like to add to this, although like we cannot say that pain is the only factor behind the good poetry, it can be one of the strongest factor and intense emotion behind it, but it's not the only factor, and it's not that too important to have a, to go through the pain to write a good poetry.
I would like to ask another question to our panelists. Do you have a place where you go to gather your thoughts or to get the inspiration to write a poem?
So there is no such place, you know, like you just need a corner to sit, and you know, it's not about the place where you're sitting and writing the poems. It is about how your thoughts are directed. So any calm place where, you know, you can sit down and direct your thoughts, I'm sure that is one place where you can definitely write good poem.
It's same for me. I do not need a specific location to write down a poem, but it's just that I need peace and silence so that I can concentrate on my thoughts and gather them.
Yeah, that's great. Another question related to the question which was just asked. What do you think of poems with pain are ranked higher than the poems of happiness, or the vice versa?
I think, you know, when do we go and try to read something emotional, or try to, you know, pacify our feelings? You know, we go for, we try to look for some poems, some lines which are generalized, which where we can relate, you know, we can relate our feelings with. So I think that when you are in pain, you try to look for those things. I don't think when you are very happy, jolly, going out with people, you don't need anyone. You're feeling content with your life. I don't think you'll go on and reading poetry very much. I think it's, I'm generalizing things. It won't be true for everyone. I think I go for songs, or I listen to the lyrics when a song is something like I can relate to. It is sad. It is pointing towards some of the situations that I have been through. So I think that's somewhere right. When a song, the lyrics are sad, it's they're very greatly written, quite inclined towards sadness, we try to relate to it. I think pain actually makes poem I think more relatable, because that's one thing. When we feel pain, we try to find out, am I the only one who is feeling that, or there are other people also who are going through the same thing? So I think there is one factor of it which makes painful poems a little more popular, but not necessarily. There can be other poems also. Many popular poems like Madhushala of Harivansh Rai Bachchan Ji. It's not a sad poem, but it's very popular. So it depends ultimately. But yes, I prefer reading those poems which I can relate to. When I'm sad, I go, I read that, I relate to it, I feel good. Yeah, I'm not the only one. I'm not mad with feeling like this. It happens.
That's great. I would like to share my view also. As Namrita said that people don't relate well in happiness as well in pain. I agree with that. Happiness is more subjective. What I feel with, I will be happy with, may not be the same thing you will be happy with. And pain is generally, we feel fair generally for the same things. I mean, I can give you an example. I've seen many guys getting sad hearing Arijit Singh's song. No matter how many times, every guy will relate to it. And another thing is pain in the sense, it's a very strong emotion than happiness. And also I would like to say that the value of happiness increases when it's after a long struggle, a long period of pain. So when that happens, you see that the power of the poem is even more stronger.
Yeah, and also with respect to our memories, we tend to remember the sad ones more, even if we have studied them like in a kindergarten, or even when we were in our primary schools. For example, The Mirror by Sylvia Plath, or The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost, and others. Even one of Harivansh Rai Bachchan's poems. We can easily remember such things when we are in a similar pensive mood. and that comes up immediately in our brains first.
Great. Another question that has come up is, this is especially for the poets. So when you write a poem, do you try to think what it sounds like in your head?
I definitely do. I read it. There are syllables that I count. Even if it is not strictly up to any rhyme scheme, I just read it as if, will I be able to sing it? This is how I do it. You know, it should, I can talk my emotions out. That's what I think. I can talk my emotions out, but when I'm writing something, it should sound beautiful. So that, people won't feel creepy. You know, what is she talking about? Why is so much sadness is there? So they should feel, it should be good to their eardrums. It should sound good to them. And I will be able to share my deepest emotions in a very comfortable way. I mean, it's a poem. Come on, it's a poem. Maybe I'm not personally feeling it. So I try to make it beautiful so that I can recite it before people.
My poems have been short enough that I've never really had an opportunity to think, how would it sound, when someone is trying to recite it. But yeah, in certain cases, I tried writing those poems which can be converted into a spoken word. There's one particular poem which you'll find on my blog, which is actually called A Bad Dream. So there is a bit of humor as well in that. So I did try imagining what it would sound like. I did record a couple of audios as a spoken word poet in regard to that. But on a general basis, no, I personally do not try imagining in my mind what exactly it sounds like. But I rather focus on making it relatable to the people who are reading it. That has been my primary objective always.
Personally, I never tried listening to the sound of my poetry. And I feel my poetry are towards more of the, they are more for the pleasure of reading than for reciting.
That's great. I feel that this is like, the poem's version of a person trying to stand in the front of mirror and trying to act in a certain way, try to do some character things. So I think that's, common in the poet's world also.
Yeah, we were talking about, a few moments back about Harivansh Rai Bachchan and Robert Frost, etc. And most of these poems were given to us through our education at school, where our English teacher reads it and interprets it and tries to imbibe what the poet was thinking into us. Have you thought any time if your thought process would be similarly studied by, English literatures later on, and trying to map your thought process and trying to interpret what you are trying to convey and how you are trying to convey? And also, have you had the fear of being misinterpreted as well?
Yes, that's a very good question that you brought up. Always, whenever we write, we want to be read. So as poets, we always like our words to be read. But when you ask, if it is worth going into any syllabus, it's a very big question, because today we are into the very contemporary form of writing poetry, whereby, we are writing much straightforward poetry. Back then, if you actually see, what was written by the Shakespeare, or, what was written by some of the very well-known poets like Robert Frost and all, you will find that, their poetry was much more complex than what we are writing these days. So yes, even if we have some very strong poems on our side, if it would make to the, literature of the future, maybe it would be easy to interpret rather than having much challenges. But yeah, in certain cases, when we actually use a certain set of metaphors, there are chances it can be misinterpreted. But not always. With most of the poems, it is quite straightforward that we write these days. But yeah, it is going to be very difficult unless and until, you have a chapter or something, or, English literature of the future, or the children are taught on haikus and certain things, that most of the poems will not come out, because the haikus would be very difficult to interpret at the level which children will be studying at, probably class 9, 10, 11, 12.
So while I started writing poetry, I was in 7th or 8th standard. So when I used to read those Hindi and English poetry, I used to daydream ki maybe one day my poetry will also be part of these textbooks, and the students will be reading me, and the teacher will be teaching, and those students will be writing my name in the answer sheets while answering to the question, who is the poet? So yeah, I had that kind of a dream. I do not have any sort of fear like that because I think poetry is open to perspectives. So it's fine if someone can look at it in a different way than I can.
Thank you.
But
thank you, Simran. I hope your dream is fulfilled in the near future. Yeah, Namrata, you are adding something?
Yeah, I think the fear of being misinterpreted is, I think it will be very true if it is there in any of the poet's mind. Because I think great poets got misinterpreted, like Madhushala itself got misinterpreted by people. And very recently, a poem called Hum Dekhenge by Faiz Ahmed Faiz, it got, you know, totally a political edge, agenda towards it. So I think poetry got misinterpreted by people. It was, I think it would be a very genuine fear if it is there in a poet's mind. So it can happen, and we should consider that possibility.
Thank you for all the answers. Let's move on to the next section, where I would like to know what our panelists think on how we can motivate the next generations into literature works, into writing poems and books or proses. How do you think we can do more to motivate the next younger generation into this field? Namrata, if you can start.
Thanks, Shreyas. So, what my idea would be in order to motivate the younger generations, because these days we mostly spend our time on social media. So we keep on sharing memes and you know, TikTok videos and whatever sort of videos for fun, for short laugh. You know, we share this. So what I try to do mostly is share lines from my favorite poets. Two or three lines maybe. I share the book titles, I share my views about it. So what I try to create around me is a point of view, kind of a view that this thing is cool. What I'm doing is cool, what I'm reading is cool. So you should also, and I'm proud of it, I'm enjoying it totally, so you should also do it. And also what I do is when I meet my cousins or younger people in my family, or whenever I get chance to interact with younger people, I talk about literature. What is the story that you love? These are the poets who are my favorite. I talk about this. I'm very passionate about this, actually, reading poetry and quoting the lines from it. These are my favorite ones. So I try to, you know, create the same enthusiasm among the people who I meet. I even talk to it about to my parents. You know, I try to motivate them also. You know, keep on reading. So that's how I do it.
Suleiman, if you can weigh in.
Yes. I liked how Namrata spoke in regard to it, but I would like to say that the next generation should actually go with a very simple mantra, that is read, read, read and read. Because gone are those days, you know, like our days, our generation was much to go to a library. We were passionate, you know, to go to a library, pick up a book, highlight a few verses, you know, highlight a few words, or, you know, try to understand the meaning. We actually built up our phonetics, we built up our vocabulary. Kids these days are finding it very difficult to expand their vocabulary, you know. It will be very difficult for them to actually write something or try to portray something without actually coming out of their comfort zone. So for them to actually come out of their comfort zone and to write, or, you know, to move into this literature field, they really need to do the very basic, that is read, read, read and read. We had a time where we used to actually have newspapers come to our home. But gone are those days, you know, like we enjoyed. But today you actually see most of the families have actually stopped even subscribing newspapers. Hindu Young World was something that really, you know, inspired most of us in our generation. But today you don't really find, you know, kids even finding time to, you know, open the front page of Young World. And even Young World has lost its gleam and things. But that's a different story on the other side. But as I said earlier, it's very important that, you know, kids start their passion towards, build their passion towards reading.
Simran, if you have any further thoughts, afterthoughts?
I absolutely agree with Suleiman that it's the today's generation that has to work upon this and inculcate their own reading habit. And I feel it is very important to highlight the great literature. I think the today's generation are not reading the sort of content, the sort of books, literature they need to read. Better form of quality literature needs to be promoted more.
Yeah, I completely agree on all our panelists' point of view here. I've seen a lot of people encouraging children to try to read. And there was also a post on the internet which said, children mimic the adults. And today's adults are spending most of the time on electronic devices, and the children are also spending the same amount of time and are getting distracted as well. If we start reading when we are around kids, the kids will also pick up the same. So yeah, I believe it is all interdependent on how we also act and how we also motivate ourselves to reading newspapers, subscribing newspapers, journals, magazines, and also novels and poems whenever we have leisure time. So I believe we are at the end of our podcast with this particular section. I would like to open the session to our panelists for their feedback and how they felt on being in the podcast. For two of our panelists, I believe this is their first podcast, and it would be we will be glad to know, have some feedbacks from you. And as always, starting with alphabetical order, unfortunately, even though he's part of the hosting team, Aman, please give us your feedbacks first.
Yeah, we had a really good session. It was really great to hear from poets firsthand what they feel, while writing and hearing their pieces and stuff like that. It was really good. I would also like to end with this line I heard some days ago, which is quite inspiring and quite related to the subject. It says that poetry and prose is a notion, it's a protest against the notion that we only live once. Through poetry and prose, we actually live many lives and many ideas at the same time, and it makes your life more creative and more rich in the process. So that's my ending remark.
Yeah, Namrata?
I would like to thank you guys for inviting me here. It was such a great opportunity for me. My first podcast, obviously I was quite nervous, but I feel like, you know, I came for a very noble cause. You know, it's like I'm promoting poetry. I'm a brand ambassador of it. I'm promoting something which is my very own. So I would like to share one thing with everyone, with my audience. Like, why do we indulge into this? Why do we do poetry? So there is a very famous quote from the very famous movie Dead Poets Society. I would like to end up with that. It is, we don't read and write poetry because it's cute. We read and write poetry because we are the members of the human race, and the human race is filled with passion. Medicine, law, business, engineering, these are noble pursuits and necessary to sustain life. But poetry, beauty, romance, love, these are what we say. Thank you so much.
Golden words, Namrata, golden words. Simran, being the next.
I absolutely agree with what Aman said, that the power of poetry is that it lingers in your heart for a very long time. And it was such a great experience talking about it with all of you today, as poetry is something very close to my heart, and I absolutely enjoy talking about it. And I hope we'll have some other discussion as well in future around poetry and maybe some stories.
Yeah, sure. Whenever time comes for that as well. Thank you, Simran. And before handing it over to our usual host, Suleiman, I would like to add my ending closing remarks as well. So as we all remember most famous poems and poets, like in Tamil, Bharatiyar, and Harivansh Rai Bachchan in Hindi, Lokmanya Tilak, and in English, we have William Wordsworth, Sylvia Plath, Robert Frost, etc. And in German, we have Johann von Goethe, etc. etc. And we remember most of these people even after centuries of their deaths. They basically live in their words, and they have also planted ideas of their ideology in their words. And we also, many of us, live by it. For example, with Tirukkural in Tamil, or Sarvajna in Kannada. Poetry and prose, as Aman mentioned, these are passionate field where we can give our ideas for a future generation. Like in the movie V for Vendetta, people die, but ideas don't. I reckon we have motivated most of our listeners, or all of our listeners, hopefully, into reading more of poems and proses, getting more knowledge and opening up their minds for different fields and different points of view. Over to Sulaiman Seth. Thank you.
Firstly, Shreyas, thank you for being a good host along with Aman. It was a different experience for me to be on the other side. Important thing that I'd like to add in the end is that the journey of a poet is much beyond the words that he expresses. So just keep reading, you know, keep enjoying the poetry that is out there in the world for you, because there's a lot of pain today. So it is important that, you know, you find your solace or you find your comfort in the form of poetry that you really want to read. So keep reading, keep promoting poetry as a whole, and do read out most of our works which are out available in the public domain. So I hope you like this podcast episode. So we are towards the end of season 3, episode 4 of Talkathon with me, Sulaiman. It was wonderful having Aman, Amrita, Shreyas and Simran on today's episode. I hope you like this podcast. Do send in your valuable suggestions and comments in regard to this podcast. Thank you one and all for listening. We will join you once again in another episode of Talkathon with me, Sulaiman. Thank you. Have a great time ahead.